Today is a Mission Sunday. It is a day that we take a time to remember our people in Cambodia, also in Guatemala, Mongolia, and other places, serving as missionaries for the work of the gospel in those various countries. What we usually do is spend time to hear an update, particularly from Guatemala and from Cambodia. However, as you'll see in today's report, we will not be able to do that with time constraints. But we will still read a small request of prayer that was sent to us by Daryl and Kyle from Cambodia. And my job today is to tie that into our message out of 1 Peter. Would like to first ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. It is towards the end of your Bible. If you hit Hebrews, go a little bit further, you get James and then Peter. If you hit John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, you've gone too far. So, towards the end of your Bible. While you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our first-time visitors and our long-time no-see visitors. As I always say, it's a good Sunday when we have lots of testimonies. I changed that to, it's a good Sunday when we have testimonies from different countries. I'd like to change that again and say, it's a good Sunday when we have testimonies from at least four Mejias. That's really good. Okay. Let's go ahead and open to 1 Peter. And we're going to, actually, if you have it here in your bulletin, the whole chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I want to thank you for keeping your testimonies brief so that I can have time for my message today. Appreciate that. Do that too. But, we'll get on with it. And we're gonna spend some time in this chapter, but today we're just going to look at the first five verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. My custom is for us to read it together. I would like you to pick me up at verse 3. In other words, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and please join me in reading the last two sentences, verses 3 through 5. So let me begin. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Please read with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise the Lord for His word. As I was reading this first few verses just now, I was reminded particularly of some good friends of ours, Nahomi and ours, and some of you know them, Jamila and Gregory and Jamila Gordon. Nahomi is very close to Jamila. She lived in Kude, the same city where my wife is from, for a few years, and Gregory is a talented pianist. He played piano and sang at my wedding, and I think I played at his wedding, played guitar. But we were very close friends. They're from Jamaica. They have since returned to Jamaica after having lived in Japan for a number of years. Their two daughters were born in Japan, and a bit of trivia, they are the first couple, Jamaican couple, to have been married in Japan. They were two Jamaicans who met in Japan, fell in love, and were married here in this church and in the history of this country. They're the first Jamaicans to be married here. Why am I reminded of them when I read this? They're not your typical Jamaicans. They're very special. They come from very special families, and they were chosen to be part of a program here. It's called the JET program. It's to be teachers at the public schools. Not everybody who applies is accepted. You have to go through a vetting process, and you are chosen. And they lived lives here as foreigners, very different from the typical foreigner that I've met through the years living here. And so the reason why I'm reminded of that, of them, in, as I read this, is because many of us who are here can relate to what Peter calls the elect, strangers, exiles, in verse 1. But before I hit that, let me go word by word for a minute here. I want to just explain. We're going to go through 1 Peter for the next few months, maybe into next year. Our theme for this church this year is discipleship. Pastor Hiroshi will be teaching on that, has been teaching on it, and I thought, who better to hear about discipleship than the man who was chosen by Jesus himself to be his chief disciple? And so if anybody has anything to say about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it ought to be Peter. And it is that Peter that is first mentioned in the first word in this letter, Peter. He is the author of this letter to churches that are mentioned here. The next phrase is an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. Many of us, when we read this letter, we often skip that part. We just want to get to the good stuff. That's really good as it is right there. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle is a word literally translated as one who is sent. Sent by someone. Jesus chose 12 men while he was on earth to be his leaders. He had many followers when Jesus was here. Many people were crowding around him, wanting to be his followers, and he chose 12 specific men after training them, after eating with them, after traveling with them, after spending moment by moment with them. He trained them specifically in his ministry. And when he left, he said, all authority in heaven and under heaven has been given to me. And I'm going to send you out now, you 12, to be my representatives, to speak on my behalf. In other words, when you talk, it will be as if I'm speaking. When you write, it'll be as if I'm writing. And these were given to those very special 12. One betrayed him, so another was chosen to take his place. There was one more he appeared to face to face and specifically chose to be his apostle. That was the one whose name is Paul. Paul, whose name was Saul at first, and then Jesus came to him and said, I'm changing your name. You're now going to be Paul. When you meet Jesus Christ, he gives you an assignment. He gives you a new birth. He gives you a new life. He gives you a new name. I have a co-worker. I work at a Catholic school. Some of the teachers there are Catholic, in fact. And I was surprised to learn. This is something I learned recently. When a Japanese becomes a Christian or a Catholic Christian, when you're baptized into the Catholic Church, you get a new name. So his name is Atsushi Kobayashi, but his Catholic baptized Christian name under Jesus is Sebastian. which is kind of cool. What a cool name. I don't have that kind of name. I have just a normal name. Peter, the one who wrote this letter, also had a new name. His real name, his first given name, was Simeon, Simon, Jewish name. And then Jesus says, no. I'm going to name you Kephas, Petero, Peter, the Rock. The Rock. What a cool name to be named the Rock and given to him by Jesus. So that's the Peter, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He has a special authority to write the very words of Christ given to him by Christ himself. So he is Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, not the apostle of Jesus Christ. And then it moves on to God's elect. To God's elect, strangers in the world. And we get our title for today from that phrase, God's elect. In other translations, it's written as chosen, selected. Okay, and in here, our translation has a comma, God's elect, and then it moves on, strangers in the world. In the original, there's no comma. It's very difficult. Is it God's elect, comma, strangers, or is it elect strangers? What's the big deal? Two things that Peter is going to really hammer home for us as disciples throughout this letter, as we read throughout this year, is that we are two things. Like my friends Gregory and Jamila, they were chosen. God's people are chosen. My friend, if you are here listening to the gospel, you have been chosen. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, you have been chosen by God. And there's an argument many years going back, and it's a big debate splitting churches, splitting families, splitting countries. Is it we who choose God, or is it God who chooses us? And I'm not here to go through that debate. I grew up in a church that says God chooses us. This church, historically, doesn't teach that. It teaches the other side. But we're going to teach what this scripture says today. And it says that God chose us. God, and that is such a powerful, life-changing, life-transforming, faith-strengthening truth that we need to internalize today. God chose you from before, from the beginning. It says, it goes to the next verse. God the Father, according to the foreknowledge of God, oh my goodness, God, thousands, billions, gazillions of years before we were even conceived, thought of, and came into being. God knew we would be here. God knew you would come to this church. God knew you would be sitting here. But he also knew you would be a prisoner of sin. He knew that you would have sin in your life that separates you from him. And that sin will condemn you before him. He knew that. And so what he did was said, you know what, even though you don't deserve me, even though we should never even be together, even though you don't deserve anything, any grace, any mercy, any goodness, any life at all, I'm going to choose you. And I'm going to give you life. I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to give you a hope that is beyond this life. That's the teaching of this word today. We are God's elect. We are chosen according to God's awesome foreknowledge, long before we even came to this church. Let's move on to the second word, God's elect strangers. And I think in our translation it says exiles. This is kind of strange. Strangers in the world. And then in my Bible, a new NIV, it says strangers. Jim, did you get this out of the NIV? It says exiles. Ah, wow. Okay, my Bible's old. Okay. That's fine. Strangers, exiles, my other version says sojourners, basically travelers. Gaijin, foreigners. Okay? That's the word that we have. And I just find it so interesting as I read my Bible every day. I read stranger, I read sojourner, I read exile pretty much almost every day when I read my Bible. When you read the Bible, you notice God's people are often the strangers, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The word sojourn, the word travel, the word a stranger, it comes up in Genesis so many times, it's eye-popping when you read it. Whoa, whoa, he's a stranger, he's traveling through. And not only that in Genesis, but all throughout the law, all throughout the history books of the Bible, all throughout the prophets, God's people are characterized as strangers, as foreigners. The only time they're at home is when they come to Canaan, the land which God is going to give them. But even then, it's not all that great for them. They end up messing up their time at home, and they get pulled out of their own home, and they have to live as strangers, as foreigners, as travelers once again. And then, in the New Testament, God says, yes, that's exactly what it is for those of you who follow the cross, who believe in Jesus Christ. Just as the people of ancient Israel, of the Old Testament, are strangers, as foreigners, living, passing through, so are we. And that's easy for us who are here, who don't have a Japanese name. For those of us named Habakkuk, Shore, Ronald, Lopez, Mejia, Villanueva, Disconte. It's easy for us to relate to. We know the feeling of coming here, stepping off of a plane, and the world smells like soy sauce. Or it smells like rice. The air has this kind of nori kind of quality smell about it. I don't know. Have you noticed that? The minute I stepped off the plane, I said, man, it smells like soy sauce in this country. What is that? And then you go and you're like, I can't read that sign. I don't know where I am. And for me, it's even doubly strange. I'm Filipino. I have an Asian look about me. I get mistaken as Japanese all the time. And my first few months here, people are coming up to me, little obachan, coming up and asking me for directions. I have no idea what she's saying. I'm a foreigner. I go to the store. I need to buy some detergent. Which one is detergent? Which one is shampoo? I don't know, right? I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. This is not my home. And for those of you who understand that, you understand the meaning of that word. But then there's another level it comes to. When I go back to my family in California, after I've lived here a few years, and everything's changed. Wait a minute, I grew up here, but what happened to that store that was there? And who are you? Oh, you're my sister. Oh, you've grown up so big. And you look and you dress and you talk totally different from how you're a stranger to me. And we become strangers even though we're in our own home. But here's an even crazier thing. Some of us have become believers, and we've accepted Christ. And there's people in our own family, there's people in our own circles, people in our own country, people who speak the same language, dress the same way, eat the same food, but they're strangers because their God, the way they're going, their lifestyle is going in a completely different direction than ours. And we have become strangers in our own home. And we can sleep in the same bed, live under the same roof, but we're speaking different languages, spiritually speaking. And we've become separated somehow. And God says, yep, that's how you need to see yourself. It's a very real, heartbreaking truth. But because I chose you, I've chosen you to be a stranger. Embrace that. Accept it. Let it sink in that it's going to be difficult for a while. And bring yourself to a point where, God, I need you to save my family. I'm praying to you again today, because if anybody can speak to him, if anybody can save her, it's you, God. And God, I'm asking you, you chose me, you saved me, you gave me your mercy, you gave me your grace. Would you please have mercy, have grace on him or her? That's what it means to be a stranger in this world. Well, let's move on. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, that's verse 1. These are churches, these are provinces in Asia. You could think of them as prefectures, about the size of Chugoku. This is in western Turkey, which is modern Western-day Turkey, modern-day Western Turkey. These are the first churches that the Apostle Paul raised up, and now Peter is writing to them. Many of them are Jewish. And so when you read through your Bible of 1 Peter, you're going to recognize a lot of Old Testament words, a lot of Old Testament ideas, a lot of Old Testament phrases, because the readers of this letter would know them as well. They've read their Old Testament. They know the Old Testament. And so they're going to read that. I'm running short on time. I'm just going to get to verse 3. I hope that's okay with you. We're going to get to verse 3 because it's so good. Excuse me, verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Just three quick things there. There's three people mentioned. Three people. God the Father, right, we're chosen according to his foreknowledge. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that's the second person, the Spirit of God. For the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a third person. There's three people. Peter, writing his letter to these churches, to these groups of Christians, brand new. This is an important letter. He's going to teach them everything they need to know that he can tell them about Christianity. From the second verse, he's saying there's three people involved in your life you need to know. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. All three of them are God. All three of them are God. This is what we call the Trinity. All three people are working in your life right now. All three. God the Father working in your life from eternity past, having chosen you, having decided you're mine. God the Holy Spirit getting you ready, working on your heart, helping you to understand that, yes, I need God. It was the Holy Spirit that said, you know, you need to come to church today. It was the Holy Spirit that says, you need to meet with so-and-so and get prayer today. It was the Holy Spirit that said, you know what, today's a good day for you to come to Mitaki and meet so-and-so. That's the Holy Spirit. That was God, the Holy Spirit. And there's one more piece of person you need to meet while you're here, and that is God the Son, Jesus Christ. Because to be chosen by God, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, oh, it's wonderful. But there's two things we need to know. There's two things. It says, chosen for obedience to Jesus, and then chosen for the sprinkling by his blood. Sprinkling by his blood. I mentioned Peter. He's going to give you a lot of Old Testament terms, phrases. That's one of them. Sprinkling by his blood. But I'll get to that in a minute. The first thing he says is obedience to Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. It's very simple. I know we come to church, we love the music. We're here for the entertainment, which is, it's not wrong. It's great. We're going to have 200 people here, I think, filling up this place because of the entertainment. That's a good thing. There was a pastor. He was very young. He's still very poor. He had a wife. A couple from the church said, we're going to take you out to dinner. Wealthy couple. They take him to this nice restaurant in the middle of the city. Steakhouse they've never been to before. They sit down. Unbelievable menu. the pastor is going, I've never been in a place like this before. Young man with his young wife looks at it, he says, I'll have the filet, I guess. So he orders the filet. It's supposed to be really tender, really juicy, really delicious. Waiting, talking, chatting. The waitress comes. She has a platter, and on it has four cups. No meat. And it's the sorbet. And she starts giving the sorbet to her guests. And the pastor is like, wait a minute. I did not order this sorbet. I ordered steak, meat, not ice cream. I hope this is not going to be on my bill, because I don't have enough money to pay for steak and sorbet. And he's freaking out, and his wife is kicking him under the table. Will you shut up? This is part of the course. The sorbet is supposed to cleanse your palate and prepare you for the main meal. This is not the main course. Oh, I see, right. Quietly, wait. The music, the atmosphere, the food is not the main course. You've come here to meet with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the main meal. Yes, enjoy the music. Yes, enjoy the atmosphere. Yes, enjoy this warm feeling of the love of God when you walk through the doors. But don't walk out of there until you've met Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. We are called not to be singers, not to be even be preachers. We are called to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ. Oh, but Lord, you don't know how busy I am. I have a full-time job. I've got kids. Obey. Obey my commands. Lord, you don't understand this. I mean, I have no money. I have no education. I'm poor. I don't know what I'm doing. Obey my command. Lord, you don't know how much this person hurts me every day. You don't know how much I have to put up with just to live with this person, just to work. Obey my command. You've been called to obey Jesus Christ. You've been chosen to obey Jesus Christ. That's the main meal of life. That's what it means to be a disciple. And I know you're going to fail. It's impossible to do everything Jesus commanded. It's that hard. Jesus, and the thing is, Jesus knew that. And Peter knew that. There's no one who failed more in obedience to Jesus Christ than Peter himself. And so what does Peter say? It's not just obedience we're called to, it's the sprinkling of his blood. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, this refers to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The Bible says this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Unless blood is shed, there's no payment for your guilt. We all will stand before God the judge someday. And we will all be guilty. All of us. Except for those who have had blood sprinkled on them. In the old days, in the people of Judea, in Israel, it was the blood of an animal, a goat, a bull, an ox, a bird. And that bird would take your sin, would receive your guilt. Because God said, in that life is the blood, in that blood is the life of the animal. And when you give me that animal, you put that blood on yourself, just sprinkle it on yourself, then you will be saved. And Jesus came as the fulfillment of all that. We don't need animals. We don't need sacrifices. We don't need a barbecue. We just need Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And the blood that he shed on that cross, by faith, when we believe it, is sprinkled onto us. Now here's what that means. Though we are called to obedience, we will always fail somehow, some way. It's because we're sinful, we were human. And Lord, I failed you again. Lord, I've come again. I'm on my knees. I'm asking for forgiveness. And Jesus says, here's my blood. We've been called to obedience to Jesus Christ. and the sprinkling of his blood. That's called truth, and that's called grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm forgiven again and again. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm washed by the sprinkling of your blood. Thank you, Lord. And so I'm saved, and so I sing, and so I give, and so I live in obedience to you. Hallelujah. Let me tie this into our Mission Sunday. We are chosen strangers, aliens, foreigners. Some of us are living here. Some of us are choosing to live in other places to bring the gospel of truth. That is Daryl and Kyle Record. In your bulletin, if you turn inside, it says, from Cambodia, Daryl Record's report. We don't have time to read all of it there. But let me summarize it for you real quickly while you read. Daryl is a missionary that we support, his wife Kayo and their son Benjamin. They are in Cambodia, an unchurched nation. Very few people know Jesus. They are working on a radio program. It's called Far East Broadcasting Company. He's writing Christian dramas for the radio, being translated into Khmer, the language of Cambodia, and it's being broadcast. It's happening now. He's also helping at a Bible school there, leading devotionals, helping to teach the Bible to upcoming Christian leaders, Bible teachers. It's going to start tomorrow, and so we're going to be praying for him. He's also writing a second book. He wrote one last year. It was published. It's being distributed now. He's at work on a second book describing the faith of Christianity in the Khmer language. So he's writing. He's partnering with another man named Doug, who's a missionary as well, and their translator they're going to be translated this year. But this is the month of May where they're making a final push on that book. And at the end of May, they're going to be returning to the U.S. They're in need of lodging and transportation while they're in California. They're on the front line. They're living as angels and aliens and strangers. I don't know that they're angels, but I can touch them and hug them, so I don't know. But we are asking you to support them. Today we are going to take an offering at the end of our service, and would like to ask you to remember them as you offer. All of everything that we give today will go towards them in Cambodia, and also orphans in Guatemala. We are working with a company that has built an orphanage and is housing a number of orphans already right off of the streets of Guatemala City. So this is all to support that work and that effort. Would like you to just think of how God has loved you and has given all that he could for you. Would ask you to return that favor in a small way. Would like to ask the worship team to come on up and prepare us as we give. While they're coming, let me pray for the offering. Would you pray with me? Miwa-san, would you help with the offering? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those here who do not know you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to those here and that you would choose them for all eternity. Make them yours, just as you have made many of us yours. Lord, we pray for Cambodia. We pray for the people there to be saved. We pray for light and life. We pray for truth to be ministered through the work of Daryl Kayo and Benjamin. And Lord, as we remember them, we ask that you would strengthen them even now in spirit, in body, in mind, in soul, in relationship. Strengthen them, Lord God. Lift them up and strengthen and encourage them, Lord God. God. Let them know your presence goes with them. Father, we pray for those orphans in Guatemala. Lord, that you would raise them up to be strong and wise in the Lord. That they would come to know who you are and give their lives wholly to you for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. And Lord, we lift up all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'd like you all to rise. Go ahead and give your offering as we sing. Please rise as we sing our closing song together. Can you sing My Life Is In You?
My Life.
Make it slow, quiet, slow and quiet. My life. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, in you is in you, Lord, in you
is in you.
My life
is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you is in you.
And I will praise you.
I will praise you with all of my heart. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you,
one more time.
In you.
My life
is in you, Lord, my strength is in you, Lord, my hope is in you, Lord, in you.
Father, I thank you that you fill this place with people and with your spirit. But Lord, as we go from here, we ask that you would fill each and every one with your spirit. That as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming today.